humility in your heart. And I appreciate Ethan reading that scripture for us tonight. We're going to be looking at this verse quite a bit, and you're familiar with it so much. And as you can see from our list on the board, Tom is going to be leading us in a number of songs as we go throughout the lesson. One of my favorite songs has a chorus that goes like this. So listen to our hearts, asking God, listen to our hearts. Hear our spirits sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. When we sing, God is listening to our hearts. And as we've already read tonight, if you'll look again with me one more time, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, I want us to notice that we're not commanded to sing in some technically correct way. We are not to have some technical musicianship about us. And you know, I think this is an important point. It was an important point for me as I graduated from music school. And Beth will tell you the stories. You know, I sort of figured, well, all the brethren ought to know how to sing this and to sing the right rhythms and to sing the right notes all the time and pronounce the words the right way. And that was just the wrong attitude to have about things. That's not what is important to God. God commands us to sing with our hearts. And you know, it's funny to me. I saw a hymnal. Oh, that was about 100 years old or something from brethren. It was handed down maybe a generation or two. A very elderly woman who possessed it. And so I was curious, let me see a hymnal that brethren used 100 years or so. And I tell you, the oddest thing about it was this. There were no notes. The words were there, but there were not any notes. It was like turning over to the book of Psalms and singing just the words. And you know, they knew the tune, however they knew the tune. I'm sure it changed from place to place a little bit. And maybe they sang the words to a different tune that maybe someone else didn't. But you see, the notes, the physical technicality of singing, that's not what God commands of us, to have some expertise in singing. Fortunately not. Or I'm afraid none of us would make it to heaven. Because the fact is, we're not very good singers, you know. And it sort of cracks me up sometimes when some brethren think we ought to be so proficient in a certain area with singing. Well, the fact of the matter is, none of us are very good. Compared to some of the greatest singers that there are, compared to the people who make their living at it, we're not very good. What's the difference? Sometimes when I talk with people who aren't Christians, and you know, talking about music is one of the first issues. Maybe they're used to other types of music in church and religion and instruments and things like this. So immediately, you have to deal with this. And you know what? I point this out. What's important to God is what goes on inside. What's happening in the heart? What's happening in the mind? God has not commanded some technicality, some sort of level of professional musicianship. And I tell you something, when you hear the Lord's people singing from the heart, it's better than any professional, technically professional musicianship. It's better than anyone who's proficient at a piano or an organ or some musical instrument. What's the difference? Besides just having some sort of technique that you practice this physical ability for years and years and years, it's those who are pouring out their hearts to God. That's the difference. You know, a little technique does help. We've got to say that. It helps to have the songs pitched to at least close to where we can sing them. And it helps to know the songs and to sing them in the way the congregation is used to. If you've traveled around very much, you know that different congregations sing songs differently. And when I would visit the brethren with the Westside congregation in Thomasville, and I would teach there sometimes, the regular preacher may not be able to make it. And they sang songs a lot different from the way we sang songs. Some of them were just like very, very different. Sometimes I had to lead singing. I was the only man there who could do that. And I knew that, you know, they sang some of the songs differently, and I liked the way that they sang the songs, but, you know, I would just start them and sing really soft so I didn't get in the way. It was different. The best congregational singing is when Christians pour out their hearts to God. But the heart is emphasized. Some technicality of the physical voice is not what is emphasized. And I tell you what I think. There's many comments about the congregational singing here. I think this is what the difference is. When you have a group of people who really love God, that just want to pour out their hearts, I think that's the difference. If you would get your supplemental songbooks and turn to number 4, we're going to sing that in just a second. I'm going to grab one of these books. I selected this song because as we began to learn it, which is the case whenever you learn a song, you know, you do have to focus more on, well, what are the notes and what are the words? And you have to learn the words and get to know them, especially with a song that goes a little bit faster. And, you know, we've got to the point where we don't really pay attention to the notes anymore. We know the notes. Well, we don't have to look at the page, and we don't have to try to say, okay, this note goes here, this is this rhythm. And we've got to the point where we can just sing the song, and it makes such a difference. So I want to sing this song tonight. Notes are part of singing, yes. Words are part of singing, yes. But focus on your heart. Focus on your heart, and just let the notes and the words come. Tom, if you'll lead us in this song, all 3 verses, if you don't mind, sir. Thank you very much. Look with me once again in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. I want to talk about 2 scriptures here for just a second. The first one is, I want to talk about this word melody, to make melody in your heart. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. The Greek word psalmo is translated make melody, and it means to pluck strings. And this is very important in a number of ways. First of all, it tells us what our singing is to be accompanied with. And the Lord has been very specific about this. It's not a piano or a harp or wind instruments or anything like that. It is our heart. So the Lord's been very specific. So from a perspective of authority, it's an important word. But we're not talking about authority tonight. We're talking about singing with our heart. And so when we sing to God, we are plucking the strings of our heart. In other words, We've got to stimulate our hearts. We can't just sit here and just be all down and out in the dumps. Now, there may be a good reason for that. But a lot of times we can bring ourselves out of that. Now, you know what's the difference? It's getting time for football, and I love football. And I love college football. A lot of times, what's the difference between winning and losing? That the team that plays with heart, and it can, even more than that, both teams can play with heart. But if one team plays with a lot more heart, well, they may not be technically as good as the other team, but man, they can go out there and win that game. And that's the way we are to sing. We are to put our heart into it. And you know, to do that, what do you do? You've got to get yourself up. You've got to have the right attitude, the right way of thinking to do that. And you know, this is something individually we each have to do. And we'll talk about a couple of things as we go throughout the lesson tonight. But we all have to do that. But in addition to that, turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm sorry, on my PowerPoint I transposed the numbers there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. I want you to notice what Paul says. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the mind, or with the understanding also. So yes, we are doing this with our spirit, with our hearts. We are engaged as we worship in spirit and in truth. You know, we can be doing the right things, worshiping in truth. But if our minds and our hearts are not engaged, we're not worshiping. We're just going through motions. They don't mean anything to us. And so our singing is part of our worship. It's got to be with our hearts. Our hearts have to be into it. And for that to be true, we have to have our minds into it, our understanding. I want to call out just a couple of things to your attention. Get your other songbooks out, your red songbooks, and go with me to number 162. We're going to sing this in just a moment, but I want to look at a couple of things first. Number 162. Now this song is titled Night with Ebon Pinion. Now, I would not begin to embarrass folks, because I don't want to be embarrassed too. If you were to ask me, what's Ebon Pinion? If I hadn't looked it up and written it in my notes, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. And I hate to tell you, sometimes I've even come up to lead the song, and here I'm going, Night with Ebon Pinion. What in the world does that mean? Alan, you should have looked this up, and you should have communicated it first. Suggestion to song leaders, if you have some hard words or some words that you're not familiar with, or your audience is not familiar with, they don't use very often, take time to explain them and to explain the meaning for the song that you're singing. The word ebon means black. You see, I got to look at my notes here and make sure I get it right. Pinion means the feathers of a wing. Black feathers of a wing. And this is talking about the night which Jesus was betrayed. It pictures a bird with very black wings that broods over the earth. That it was a black, dark, sad, heavy time upon the earth. And so when we sing Night with Ebon Pinion, it's the night that was black and dark and sad because of the events that were happening. And so our hearts are to be into that. We've got to focus upon this night and the travail of this night. As the song describes here, what Jesus went through and his mind and the things that he was thinking and the heavy, heavy burden that was upon him. You probably know in verse 3 what Abba means, the very last line of the song. Abba is the Aramaic word for father. And a young child would call his father, would say Abba. Now the equivalent, and I'm not condoning using this word either in song or in prayer, but the equivalent today of a young child, you know, maybe Tom with your littlest one there would say, would knock him up and say, Father, Father, would say, Daddy, you know. And so here is Jesus on this sad, sad, heavy night. Night with ebb and pinion. We're going to sing that in just a second. But I want to bring one more example to your attention. Turn with me over to number 16. You might want to hold your book open at that 162. We'll be there in a minute. But here's another one, number 16. And again, the encouragement is for, especially for song leaders. You know, you've selected songs, you've put them on the board, you've asked us to turn there. We don't have really time to look through the songs and really get ourselves attuned to them, see if there's a word there we don't know, and we certainly don't have dictionaries here to look them up. But in number 16, A Mighty Fortress, and at the end of verse 2, talks about Lord Sabaoth, his name, Lord Sabaoth. Now, again, I wouldn't want to embarrass anyone here by asking, well, you know, what does that mean? Because I tell you the truth, just sitting right here in the audience, called on the spot, I'm not going to know the answer to that. Lord of Sabaoth. If you think it means Lord of the Sabbath, well, good guess, but that's not it. That's not it. Sabaoth is a Hebrew word for hosts. Lord of hosts. It properly denotes the armies or military hosts organized for war, including angels who are represented as marshaled or arranged into military orders. And so this is the Lord who is commanding all the powers of heaven, all the hosts of heaven who are at his beck and call to do his will, to bring down that which he once brought down. They are there at his disposal. Lord Sabaoth. And so, again, song leaders, these words are here, these phrases help us to understand what the song is, what the words are, because the Lord commands us now to sing with the understanding. And if we're saying words we don't know what they mean, we're certainly failing at that. Now let's go over to 162. And let's get our minds attuned to the song here. And then we want to sing it with our spirits. We want to sing it with our spirits in just a moment. Night with ebon pinion, brooded o'er the veil. All around was silent, save the night wind's wail. That's poetically the wail coming through the nighttime, the winds coming through the night. When Christ, the man of sorrows, in tears, you put yourself there. Maybe imagine you are there. Maybe you are just seeing from afar these events. Perhaps you see your Lord as with sweat as blood, in such agony, prostrate in the garden, raised his voice to God. Smitten for offenses which were not his own, he for our transgressions had to weep alone. No friend with words to comfort, nor hand to help was there, when the meek and lowly humbly bowed in prayer. Abba, Father, Father, if indeed it may, let this cup of anguish pass from me, I pray. Yet, if it must be suffered by me, thine only Son, Abba, Father, Father, let thy will be done. Imagine you're there on that night. The things that occur, and the things that Jesus does, and the things evident of the very difficult time he had in the garden that night. And now sing this song with your spirit, with that emotion in your voice, as you sing this song to each other and to the Lord. Tom, if you'll lead us, please, in the three verses here.
Christ.
Wow, I got to tell you, that was pretty awesome. You know, it's pretty awesome. And you can't help, you know, if your mind is right, it's tuned right, you're thinking about what you're saying, we're singing together, of course, we're singing to each other. It's just like you can practically put yourself there. And it certainly makes us appreciate our Lord just a little more and what He's done for us. If you'll turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, I now want to talk about, you know, how do we make melody in our heart? Well, we're attuning our minds. We're expressing the thoughts of our hearts. We're concentrating, singing with the understanding. But also, Paul brings out in this verse, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." And that's a whole lesson in itself, isn't it? And we've talked about that in detail. But I want to call your attention to the end of the verse. Singing with thankfulness. Thankfulness. This is another component. Maybe we ought to sing number 162 again, just to maybe try to add this component to it. To have thankfulness on top of the other things we've talked about. As we're singing the song about Jesus in the garden that night, it was so dark and the travail and the anguish. And then to have a thankful heart at the same time. To be thankful for God who sent His only begotten Son. To be thankful for Jesus in such agony. And knowing exactly what was going to happen and having so much anguish over those events that would occur just within hours, to be thankful to God. You know, what would you do if someone did something just absolutely incredible, just unthought of for you? And it's something you could never repay. You can't pay them back. It was just so awesome that they did it. You can never pay them back. And, you know, thank you just seems so inadequate. You would go the lengths of the earth to express your gratitude. And, you know, this is one of the ways the Lord has set forth for us to express this gratitude. Is as we sing to be thankful in our hearts. And this thankfulness is just coming out in our singing. Turn your songbooks over with me to 392. I thought this would be a good song to sing. As we talk about singing with thankfulness in our hearts. And the song here is one that we know very well. Count your many blessings. Count your blessings. And the song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. That's a challenge. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. And as we've talked about and studied tonight, as we make melody in our heart, as we sing with understanding, as we really put our hearts into it, and now we think about our blessings and the thanks just exudes from our hearts. As we sing the song, count your blessings. Think about that. Get your mind in tune to that. And let that come out in your singing. Tom, if you'll lead us in these three verses, please. Well, I've got just one more point for you tonight. What if you died right now, met the Lord in the air, He took you home to be in heaven forever, and you started singing in the next 5 minutes? What would your singing be like? What would it be like? We sing with melody in our hearts by singing to God. Ephesians 5:19, we sing to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, we sing to God. Turn your Bibles with me over to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. And I want us to notice one of the insights into heaven. As the saints are there, and I want you to the very best of your ability to put yourself in heaven this very moment. And read with me beginning in verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass holding harps of God. Now, I want you to understand, these harps we've talked tonight, they are our hearts. Those are the strings that we're plucking when we're singing to God. Verse 3. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, and all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Can you imagine singing the song of Moses this very moment? Can you imagine being in heaven right now? And how awesome, how incredible, how energizing, how exciting that would be. Well, let me suggest to you, when we sing here on the earth, we should sing just like we're in heaven. That joy, that excitement, that feeling, the thoughts of our heart and our mind as we pour out our hearts to God ought to be just like we're in heaven. So turn your Bibles with me, excuse me, your songbooks to number 359. I thought this would be a good song for us to sing to the very best of our ability, just like we are in heaven. And the song is titled Victory in Jesus. And you remember the song, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groanings, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Sing it like you're in heaven. Will you? Let's stand, Tom, and sing all three verses. You can be seated. We'll extend the invitation in just a moment if you'd like to pull up number 307. When you sing and make melody in your hearts, you know God is well pleased, no matter how it sounds to human ears. You'll be encouraged and uplifted as we have tonight, with the word of Christ dwelling in your heart, singing to God while admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, I think this is one of the reasons I love the singing here so much with the South Livingston congregation, as we pour out our hearts to God and encourage one another. You'll be thankful, and that thankfulness will be reflected in your singing. You'll sing like you're in heaven, praising God and celebrating the victory. As we started out tonight, God listens to our hearts. What does God hear from your heart when you sing from Him? Sing to Him. What does He hear from your heart when you sing to Him? We're going to extend the gospel invitation now, number 307. If your heart is not right with God tonight, your singing can't be right. It can't be right. And so now both can be corrected tonight. Your heart in relationship to God and your heart as you sing to Him this evening. What must you do? Simply become a child of God? What has He asked of you? To believe in Him. To repent of your sins, that is to just change the wrong things to do the right things. To confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, washed in the blood of the Lamb, reconciled to God. Your heart will be right. Now when God listens to your heart, He'll hear the things that are pleasing to Him. We're going to sing number 307. If you would stand and sing. If you need to obey the gospel, won't you come to the front now as we stand, as we sing.